Now Jacob saw that there was rain in Egypt, and Jacob said unto his sons, Why do ye look one upon another? And he said, Behold, I have heard that there is rain in Egypt. Get ye down thither, and buy for us some tents, that we may live and not die. And Joseph's 10 brethren went down to buy grain from Egypt. But Benjamin, Joseph's brother, Jacob sent not with his brethren, for he said, Lest peradventure harm befall him. And the sons of Israel came to buy among those that came, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. And Joseph was the governor over the land, and he it was that sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves to him with their faces to the earth. And Joseph saw his brethren, and he knew them. But he made himself strange unto them, and spake roughly with them, and said unto them, Whence come ye? And they said, From the land of Canaan to buy food. And Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew not him. And Joseph remembered the dream which he dreamed of them, and said unto them, Ye are spies to see the nakedness of the land. Ye are come. And they said unto him, Nay, my lord, but to thy food are thy servants come. We are all one man's sons. We are true men. Thy servants are no spies. And he said unto them, Nay, but to see the nakedness of the land ye are come. And they said, We thy servants are 12 brethren, the sons of one man in the land of Canaan. And behold, the youngest is this day with our father, and one is not. And Joseph said unto them, That is it that I spake unto you, saying, Ye are spies. Hereby ye shall be proved. By the life of Pharaoh ye shall not go forth hence, except your youngest brother come hither. Send one of you, and let him fetch your brother, and ye shall be found, that your words may be proved, whether there be truth in you. Or else by the life of Pharaoh, surely ye are spies. And he put them all together in the ward 3 days. And Joseph said unto them the 3rd day, This do and live, for I fear God. If ye be true men, let one of your brethren be bound in your prison house. But go ye, carry grain for the famine of your houses, and bring your youngest brother unto me. So shall your words be verified, and ye shall not die. And they did so. And they said one to another, We are verily guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the distress of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. Therefore is this distress come upon us. And Reuben answered them, saying, Spake I not unto you, saying, Do not sin against the child, and ye would not hear? Therefore also, behold, his blood is required. And they knew not that Joseph understood them, for there was an interpreter between them. And he turned himself about from them, and wept. And he returned to them, and spake to them, and took Simeon from among them, and bound him before their eyes. Then Joseph commanded to fill their vessels with grain, and to restore every man's money into his sack, and to give them provision for the way. And thus it was done unto them. And they laded their asses with their grain, and departed thence. And if one of them opened his sack to give his ass provender in the lodging place, he espied his money, and behold, it was in the mouth of the sack. And he said unto his brethren, My money is restored, and lo, it is even in my sack. And their heart failed them, and they turned trembling one to another, saying, What is this that God hath done unto us? And they came unto Jacob their father, unto the land of Canaan, and told him all that had befallen them, saying, The man, the lord of the land, spake roughly with us, and took us the spies of the country. And we said unto him, We are true men, we are no spies. We are 12 brethren, sons of our father. One is not, and the youngest is this day with our father in the land of Canaan. And the man, the lord of the land, said unto us, Hereby shall I know that ye are true men. Leave one of your brethren with me, and take grain for the famine of your houses, and go your way, and bring your youngest brother unto me. Then shall I know that ye are no spies, but that ye are true men. So will I deliver you, your brother, and ye shall traffic in the land. And it came to pass, as they emptied their sacks, that behold, every man's bundle of money was in his sack. And when they and their father saw their bundles of money, they were afraid. And Jacob their father said unto them, Me have ye bereaved of my children? Joseph is not, and Simeon is not, and he will take Benjamin away. All these things are against me. And Reuben spake unto his father, saying, Slay my two sons, if I bring him not to thee. Deliver him into my hand, and I will bring him to thee again. And he said, My son shall not go down with you, for his brother is dead, and he only is left. If harm befall him by the way in which ye go, then will ye bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to Sheol. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Now, Father, we are so thankful that thou hast not left us without experience in the understanding of the circumstances of life. We know that when things happen to us, we have not the insight into our own lives that we have into the life of Joseph and Jacob and Jacob's son. But we are thankful that we have seen that all things work together for good, that God is in it all. And we pray that from this chapter that we've read tonight, we shall see thy hand and understand thy ways and the wisdom of thy servant, Joseph, and so prepare our hearts, give us an enjoyable, profitable time, and bless us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Joseph, from the time he was 17 until he was 30 years of age, was either a slave or a prisoner in the prison house. And then, at the age of 30, Pharaoh has a dream, and only Joseph is able to interpret that dream. And he tells of the 7 years of famine, the 7 years of plenty. And so impressed are Pharaoh and all of his attendants that they elevate Joseph to the highest place in the land and make him governor of Egypt. And not only that, but they take the choice daughter of Potiphera, the priest of On, and give her to Joseph to be his wife. Her name is Asenath, and they give him the name of Zaphnath-Paneah. Very impressive sounding names, and you look up and try to find out what they mean, and you cannot ascertain for sure. But just as his father Isaac received, his father Jacob received another name, Israel, and his great-grandfather Abraham received another name instead of Abram, so now he received another name. But not this time, not from God, except indirectly. He received a name not from the ruler of heaven and earth, but from the ruler of the greatest kingdom in the world at this time. Pharaoh says, This is your new name, and this is your bride. And so Joseph marries a Gentile bride as our Savior came to earth, and God gave him a Gentile bride. You remember he came unto his own, and his own received him not. And the Savior said to the Jews, the kingdom of God shall be taken away from you and given to a nation bringing forth fruit thereof. And so as Joseph received the Gentile bride, so God the Father gave to the Lord Jesus a Gentile bride. And then Joseph has two children. He names them Manasseh and Ephraim. Beautiful name. Because Joseph is not one who was overcome or swallowed up of sorrow. And when his firstborn child came into the world, he looked upon this child and he said, your name is Manasseh, because God hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. And then another child, Ephraim, was born, and he said, God hath made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. Now there is a lesson, that even though we are in a distant land and we have had bitter experiences, God, by bringing love into our life, God gave him Asenath, and by bringing children into our lives, all of the bitterness of the past of 13 and more years, God causes to pass away. As the Savior said, because a man-child is born into the world, and now Manasseh is born, and Joseph says, God has made me forget all my father's house and all my trouble. And then Ephraim is born. And then when this little one comes, he says, God has made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. And therefore, we do not have to be brought back to our father, back to the land of Canaan. In fact, the only way that Joseph was brought back to the land of Canaan was in a coffin. This is what he requested. He was brought back. But even though he was away from his father and his brothers and the land of Canaan, still God made him forget, and God brought love and joy and position to him. And so this is the way it is in the world. You say, well, unless I stay in Raleigh or whatever town we live in, if I'm taken anywhere else and I experience adverse circumstances, then there is only sorrow and I'm swallowed up with the circumstances of life. But this is not necessary, because God can bring love and God can bring children, and in a distant land, God can enable us to forget all of the bitterness of our past experiences. And so here is Joseph now. Think, for 13 years, a slave and a prisoner, and now the most exalted man in the world, except Pharaoh, ever so filled with business, because it says these two sons were born before the famine came. And so now he is a family man. He has a wife to love. He has children in his home when he's able to return there. And his life is filled with activity because he knows that he only has 7 years to set everything in order. And then the famine will come. And so that is what happened at the last part of chapter 41. But when we get to chapter 42, it is not 13 years, but now 21 years have passed. Joseph is 38 years old. And the 7 years of plenty, you see, he was 30 when they started. He's 37. And now we know another year has passed. He's 38 years old, and 21 years have transpired since he was sold as a slave into Egypt, and the famine that Egypt experienced is in the land of Canaan as well. And Joseph's brethren have been wondering what to do about it. They've been looking at one another. That is how beautifully it's described. And Jacob, their father, says, why stand ye looking at one another? Go down into Egypt and get grain. There was indecision. I wonder if they were thinking about this brother that they had sold as a slave into Egypt. However, a year or more passed, and finally the famine became so severe that they had to make that decision. And so, instead of sending two or more of them, he sent 10 of his sons into Egypt. But he said, Benjamin is not going. He is staying home with me. And Joseph, who had forgotten his father's household, 21 years transpire, and while Joseph is actively engaged in give this man this much grain, give this man this much grain, give these men, and here are his 10 brethren. After 21 years, he sees them, and he knows them, but they do not know him. And they come, and they bow themselves to the ground, and they bow their faces to the ground. And it says, after 21 years, it says, Joseph remembered the dream which he dreamed. Do you remember? He told, when he was 17 years old, to his brothers. They did not want to hear it, but he said, behold, I have dreamed a dream. And in my dream, we were gathering sheaves, and my sheaves stood upright, and your sheaves came round and bowed down to my sheaf. And they dismissed it, and they said, shall you indeed rule over us, and shall you be Lord over us? And then finally, when they told him, they said, we shall see what shall become of this dreamer and his dream. And 21 years later, what he saw in a dream, and even they could interpret now, not in prophetical dream, but in historical fulfillment, he sees these sheaves bowing down to him. And that is the encouragement that we have. I told you that for all of those years, think of the 13 years as a slave and a prisoner. What about this dreamer and his dream? And then, perhaps he was so busily engaged for those 7 years, and he said, God has made me forget all of my trouble and all my father's house. These things were out of his mind, and he was busily engaged in his work for Pharaoh and for the world. And then suddenly his brethren enter again into his life, and they bow down to him. And now, even though God had made him to forget, now there comes to his mind again that which dreamed, the dream which God had set into his mind, and his brethren are bowing at his feet. And he behaves in a way that is to be described as how? Correct? Incorrect? Harsh? Severe? Of God? Tell me, how should he treat his brothers? You understand, of course, that 21 years ago, they were murderers in their hearts. We remember how they murdered Hamor and Shechem and all associated with them. We remember what they did to the village and the cattle and the possessions. We remember the murder in their hearts. And then they desired to murder their own brother. But Reuben came to his assistance, and he said, no, let's not do that. But here was murder in the heart of his brethren. And now, you say that when he sees them, he's to go with those that wanted to put him to death, that told him as a slave, and say, I'm so glad to see you again. Is that the way that he should behave? You say, well, the Bible says that we are to pray and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Indeed, it does. But have you read the complete teaching about forgiveness? Our Savior says in the Gospel of Luke, he says, take heed to thyself. If thy brother sin against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And God knows nothing about forgiving people if they do not repent. Do you realize that? And that's the mistake of so many who are in the assemblies of God's people. Here is someone who sins. They should be dealt with, but they're not dealt with. And when they are dealt with, the dealing is to continue until they repent. And the Savior says, if they repent, forgive. But what happens is that there are some weaklings and some sentimentalists who say, well, let's forgive whether or not this person has repented. But God never teaches that in his word. You're not only doing this one who has sinned an injustice, but you are disobeying God and you are destroying that man. God says, if thy brother sin, rebuke him. And this rebuke is to bring repentance. If your brother sin, admonish him. He is to be told. If thy brother sin against thee, go tell him his fault between thee and him alone. Show it to him. Tell it to him. And it says, if he hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he hear thee not, well then, forgive him anyway? Why, of course not. It said, take one or two more, and if you will not hear them, tell it to the church, and if you will not hear the church, then let him be unto thee as an heathen man and as a publican. You say that the Bible says, forgive? The Bible says nothing about forgiving. It says, if a brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. If he does not repent, Matthew 18 says, do not forgive him. Luke 17 says, do not forgive him. And do you know of any sinner who is going to be in heaven who has not repented, who has sinned and has not repented? I know of not one. And neither does God, and neither does anyone else. And therefore, what Joseph does is wisdom from God. And so, first of all, he has to find out what has taken place in the heart of my brothers over these years. And I laugh every time I read about this. They do not know what's going on. It says he makes himself strange unto them, and he speaks roughly unto them. And then they come home and say, the man, the lord of the land, why, he spoke roughly to us. He said that we were spies, and we kept telling him we were not spies. You see, they do not know what's going on. But Joseph understands fully, and because Joseph acted the way he did, he discovers that these murderous brethren have hearts that have never forgotten. You see, when Manasseh came, he said, God hath made me to forget all of my trouble and all of my father's house. But when this happens to them, the name of Joseph is not mentioned. Nothing is mentioned. But when they are apprehended and accused of being spies, they say, we are verily guilty concerning our brother. 21 years this deed had been on their mind, and they had never forgotten it. And then when this adversity came into their life, they said, we are verily guilty concerning our brother because we saw the distress of his soul, and when he besought us, we heard him not. Therefore, this has come upon us. And they do not know it. Joseph is standing there with an interpreter, and everything they are saying, he is understanding. And then the interpreter will go back and forth, and Joseph is understanding all. And what is so beautiful is this. Joseph has forgotten, but they have not forgotten. And now they remember, and Joseph remembers, and because he has treated them the way he has treated them, he understands that they have repented. And poor Reuben comes to his own defense and says, I told you not to do anything to the child. And Joseph has to hear all of these things. And as they're talking with one another, Joseph's tender heart is so smitten that he has to turn and go from their presence because tears come from his eyes. And so he comes back in. Now that's the kind of hypocrite I want to be. The kind of hypocrite that pretends to be angry and rough with people, but in my heart, to love them. What kind of hypocrite are you? You see, you are rough and angry in your heart, and you pretend to love. This is the way his brothers are. Even at the end of their lives, when Jacob finally dies, they come to him, and they make up this story. They say, now he's liable to take vengeance on us now that Jacob is dead. Now, before our father died, he said that you were not to take vengeance on us, that you would treat us kindly, things like this. You see these hypocrites? Here is the way they are. They pretend to be one thing, whereas Joseph pretends to be another. They pretend to be telling the truth, but they're telling a lie. And Joseph's heart is so tender. And so I would not accuse Joseph in the least, because he does exactly what anyone should do. And he understands now. So Reuben wanted to deliver me. And so all of these that wanted to murder me and cast me into a pit and sell me as a slave, now they have regrets, and and they understand that God is sending retribution into their lives. And so he deals with them as he does, and he sends them home, and he wants them to bring Benjamin. Benjamin is his only full brother, and he gets this information. You see, his father Jacob is an old man when he's sold as a slave into Egypt, and now after 21 years, he hears that his father is still alive, and he hears that his brother Benjamin is at home, and that all the brothers are still alive, and now he knows all the history of the family in this brief encounter that he has with his brethren. And so then, this is the next instruction that he gives. He keeps telling them that they are spies, and they keep denying it, and he said, this is the only way that you can prove it to me. And then, first of all, he says he's going to bind all of them and keep them and send one, but then, after 3 days, he says, no, what I will do is to bind one of you, and he chooses Simeon. I cannot tell you just why he chooses Simeon more than the rest. He chooses Simeon, and he is the one that's bound, and so these men go their way and return to their father, but at the lodging place, one of his brothers, opens his bag of grain, and he finds his money in the top. Now think a moment. That should make you delighted for this reason. Suppose you had paid hundreds of dollars for grain, and now you're going home, and you open your sack, and you find all your money there. It wasn't your fault, but that should make you delighted. And especially a descendant of Jacob, why, of course it should make you delighted. But he sees this money, and now his heart is filled with fear. He understands that God is in this. Somehow, they see that God is in all of this. And so they come home and tell Jacob everything that has happened. And then finally, they tell him that Benjamin has to be carried back down into Egypt. And when Joseph hears it, and they open their bags and all their money is there, then they're filled with fear and apprehension. And Jacob says, my son, Benjamin is not going down into Egypt. And he interprets things one way. And Joseph's brethren, interpret things a certain way. And all along, God is working history and circumstances to get them down into Egypt. Why? Because in Genesis chapter 15, when God made promise to Abraham, he said that certain things were going to happen. He said, your offspring shall be sojourners in the land of Egypt, and he designates the amount of time. And as yet, why, he has no great number of offspring, and they're in the land of Canaan. Now, how is it possible that this prophecy in Genesis 15 to Abraham is going to be fulfilled? Why, by his brethren selling Joseph as a slave, by Joseph as a slave being elevated to the man, the ruler of the land, and now he sends this great famine for this reason. Had Joseph allowed all of the brethren to go back, he would never have seen them again. But he keeps one of them there. And though Jacob has most of his sons back, he still has to have his son Simeon rescued. And yet he seems to have thought that he's dead already. He said, you have bereaved me of Joseph, and now you bereaved me of Simeon, and you want to take Benjamin away from me. My son Benjamin shall not go down with you into Egypt. But God causes the famine to press more and more upon them, and all of the grain that they brought back home, month after month after month, wears on, and now all the grain is gone, and we know a year has passed, because it's 38 years when Joseph sees his brothers again. And so all of these things are happening, and now Joseph is beginning to see the fulfillment of his dream, and his brethren are filled with fear, and his father says, all of these things are against me, and I will go down in sorrow to my grave, all of these things are in their heart, whereas they do not realize that all of these things God is working together for good to the fulfillment of all the promises that God made to Abraham in Genesis 15. And so that's what we have to do. We have to trust God. We have to trust God whether we are elevated or whether we are cast into prison, whether we live righteously for God and are made to suffer for it, or whatever the circumstances might be, live for God and let the outcome be in the hands of God. And this is where we have to live, lead Joseph and his brethren. He's still in Egypt, and now they're thinking about going back again. And so you will have to read it to see the outcome of the story. Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful that so often we do not understand thy ways. We would think that we had improvements upon thy ways, but we know that this is folly. Forgive us for ever thinking that we are wiser than God, and whatever thy word tells us to do, let us do it. Let us do thy will, Father, and then not look in perplexity when circumstances turn out in a way that we think are against us, and then say all these things are against me. But let us believe that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. Let us trust thee. We confess, Father, that we can look at this narrative and see in its simplicity that God is behind it all. But we think of the fathers and the loved ones who have had such bitter experiences, who have not this sight from the scripture that we have. And so give them faith to believe that what thou didst do for Abraham and Jacob and Joseph and all of the people of God to whom thou hast made promises, thou shalt do for them. None of the good promises of God have failed, and none of the promises to us, our Father, shall fail. And so let us trust thee, and let us have patience, Father, and then the dreams that we have dreamed shall be fulfilled, and all the promises that you have made to us shall be fulfilled as well. And everything that is written shall come to pass, and we shall rejoice because we serve a God of truth and a God of power, a God who works all things together for good. Teach us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.